And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, saying, "Come and see."
Noise of Thunder Radio with Christian J. Pinto.
Okay, praise the Lord, you guys, and welcome. I'm Chris Pinto. This is Noise of Thunder Radio. Today on the show, we are going to talk about the United States, the free world, marching toward Armageddon. Marching toward Armageddon. Is that what is happening right now? Well, it appears to be the case. It appears as though the globalist powers at work in our country and throughout Western Europe and in other parts of the world are committed to dragging the United States and the rest of the Western world, at least, and possibly other countries, eventually, into World War III. With this conflict that began in the Ukraine, that now we've got all these threats of nuclear war. And we're going to be talking about that, about the evidence. I mean, it's not just threats from Putin and the Russian media. It is reports now where you've got U.S. government agencies that are basically telling the American people to prepare for a nuclear attack of some kind. And here we've gotten a story just from informationliberation.com. The headline says, U.S. buying $290 million worth of anti-radiation drugs for use in nuclear emergency. Now, why do we say marching toward Armageddon? Well, let's look at Matthew 24 and verse 21, where Jesus says, "For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be." And then verse 22, "And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved." Except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. Now, without getting into a big debate over the timeline of prophecy, it has for years been speculated by prophecy teachers. Well, at least as we show in our film Megiddo, The March to Armageddon, where we interviewed the late, great Dave Hunt. Dave Hunt talked about how never before in history could you have destroyed all flesh on the planet. You couldn't have done it with bows and arrows. You couldn't have done it with swords or even cannons and that kind of thing through the 19th century. But now, living in the days of nuclear war, now we have, the modern world has had the knowledge that we have the capability scientifically of literally destroying all life on the planet, in theory. And what we've got to recognize as believers in Christ is that there has never been a time period where mankind has had this ability, where man has had the ability to literally annihilate all life on the planet. And so Jesus says, "And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved." The idea seems to be, or at least the way I've always understood it, that mankind somehow or other could just completely annihilate all the flesh on the planet, except that God has shortened the days somehow. And I think this is one of the reasons why no man knows the hour or the day of the Lord's return. Why? Because if God has shortened the days, how many days did he shorten them? Well, only God would know. But it's the whole scenario seems to suggest a set of circumstances wherein the world would be brought to the brink of some kind of nuclear Armageddon. some kind of global catastrophe involving nuclear war. And right now, with what's going on with Russia and the Ukraine and the United States and the powers of Western Europe, it certainly seems like things could be moving in that direction. Now, obviously, who knows when this might happen? I mean, this whole conflict could drag on for another 5 or 10 years. Wars sometimes last a very long time. Not all wars are over in 3 or 4 years. The civil war they had in Lebanon lasted about 15 years. We have in the history of Europe the 30 Years' War. So it's hard to say exactly how long this conflict with Russia and the Ukraine, etc., how long all of this is going to go on. We just don't know. But we do know, I mean, there's no question about it, that our own government at a variety of levels is communicating these very strange and somewhat disturbing warning signs, the likes of which I haven't seen or heard of in well over 20 years. Or maybe they were there and we just weren't paying attention because nobody's really thought that there was a danger of nuclear war. But now what's happened? Our own government buying up hundreds of millions of dollars of drugs to be used in the event there's some kind of nuclear emergency. Based on the story, it's presumably because of all this talk of nuclear war with Russia. The story reports that, quote, just last week, Congress voted to send another $12.3 billion in military and economic aid to Ukraine. $12.3 billion. Think about what that money could do here in the United States of America, where the American people ought to be the ones who benefit from the taxpayer money that the federal government is handing out to a foreign territory, a foreign entity, the Ukrainian government, giving them all of this money so that they'll keep fighting Russia. And for what purpose? That's the question that should be asked. But there's no question at all that there are repeated warnings about some kind of nuclear catastrophe that may be somewhere on the horizon right here in the United States of America. Now, this is rhetoric that we thought was over and done with at the end of the Cold War. When the Berlin Wall came down and the Soviet Union collapsed, we thought, well, this is all over now. The Red Scare and building a nuclear bomb shelter in your backyard, that kind of thing, all of that's over and done with. We don't have to worry about that anymore. Or so we thought. But now official government agencies are telling us that we need to be prepared. In fact, if you go to www.ready.gov, they actually have a page up. FEMA has a page up that says, be prepared for a nuclear explosion. That's what it says. It says, get inside, stay tuned, etc. In fact, New York, the state of New York, made a commercial not long ago that caused people alarm because it was a commercial that was warning about a possible nuclear explosion. Listen.
So there's been a nuclear attack. Don't ask me how or why. Just know that the big one has hit. Okay, so what do we do? There are three important steps that I want you to remember. Step one. Get inside fast. You, your friends, your family, get inside. And no, staying in the car is not an option. You need to get into a building and move away from the windows.
Okay, so this is kind of where it all began back in the summer in July, where New York releases this, New York City Emergency Management releases this commercial suddenly, and everybody's going, huh? Well, this was released in the middle of all of this controversy back and forth over the war in Ukraine with Russia. And is all of this leading us to World War III and possibly a nuclear war? I mean, Putin and the Russian media have been threatening nuclear war for months now. And in response to all of that, it appears that our own government is just saying, OK, we'll get ready for it. Just get ready because this could happen. So you've got these websites now, government website. You've got redcross.org, redcross.org, which says, quote, nuclear explosion and radiation emergencies. The following guidance is based on research from the Centers for Disease Control, CDC. We know how trustworthy they are. And the Federal Emergency Management Association, FEMA. FEMA. And so they're describing nuclear explosion, nuclear fallout, radiation. I mean, they're, in a nutshell, they say you should, if an explosion happens, you get inside, you stay inside, you remove your clothing if you were outside when the explosion happened, you put it in a bag, separate it, take a bath, rinse off any, I guess, particles or anything like that that you may have been exposed to, and then stay inside and keep yourself informed. Follow whatever it is they're telling you on TV or the internet in terms of what to do next. That's the thing. That's the general guidelines that they seem to be giving over and over and over again. There is also a page on the cdc.gov website, Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. They've got a page there that says frequently asked questions about a nuclear blast. What is a nuclear blast? What are the effects of a nuclear blast? How can I protect my family and myself during a nuclear blast? And then they've got all this advice, which, and then a series of other questions as well. But you've got to ask yourself the question. It's almost like they are preparing us for an inevitable scenario. Like they are preparing us for something that they have planned to happen, or that they knew was going to happen somehow or another. Now, many of you will remember in the very first film that we produced and released through Adullam Films, which was Megiddo, The March to Armageddon. In that film, we talked about the very controversial conspiracy theory about three world wars. You watch the last 20 minutes or so of Megiddo, you'll see where we talk about the three world wars and the letter that supposedly was traced to Albert Pike and Giuseppe Mazzini, the head of the Italian Illuminati, etc. And supposedly this was setting forth a plan 100 years ago or more for three world wars. And of course, that letter from Pike has been panned and debunked by people who have said, oh, it's just a conspiracy theory, it's not real, et cetera, et cetera. Well, as people are watching World War III approach, then now you've got the Pope and the Jesuit order saying we are in World War III. We're not waiting for it. We're in the midst of it. This is World War III. World War III has begun. Now, if it follows World War I and World War II, then it begins somewhat slowly. And then what happens is all of the political alliances and entanglements begin to take hold, and more countries are drawn into the war, and that's what eventually causes it to have this giant catastrophic effect throughout the globe. But it doesn't begin all at once. It has that beginning point, and probably if this becomes full-blown World War III, as so many people are predicting right now, historians in the future will mark the beginning of it as when Russia invaded Ukraine. That will be seen as the equivalent of Hitler invading Poland. And if you just examine, I mean, of course, there's always other events. You know, Hitler had invaded Czechoslovakia prior to that, and that got a lot of people saying, okay, we can't trust this guy Hitler. But it was when Hitler invaded Poland in September of 1939, that is what drove Great Britain and France to declare war on Germany, and is said to have marked the beginning of World War II. And then everything went on from there. But there were conflicts that were happening before that. That's what we have to realize. And I think probably, I mean, if this is all engineered, and it appears to be engineered, many people are saying, you know, they're asking the question, why is the Biden administration, why is NATO provoking this conflict with Vladimir Putin? Knowing he has nuclear capabilities, why would they provoke this over Ukraine? There's no need. Why not take more of a political stand and see if somehow or other Ukraine and Russia can come to an agreement without dragging all of these other countries into it and creating so much destruction and bloodshed? Why? Why not? It doesn't seem to make any sense unless this is all part of a greater plan. Unless this is all part of a greater agenda. And if you watch the interview with Norman Dodd from the Reese Committee, and Norman Dodd, his testimony about what these tax-exempt foundations, the Rockefeller Foundation, Ford Foundation, and the Carnegie Endowment, when they had conducted their research into what's the best way to change or alter society, the conclusion that they came to was war. War is the best way to change a society, that societies dramatically change as a result of warfare. And the implication seemed to be, and again, it's more of an implication, I never saw from Dodd direct proof other than circumstantial kind of proof, but the implication seemed to be that these foundations had something to do with the instigation of World War I and possibly the instigation of World War II. Now, you had others like, if you read the books that were being written in the early part of the 20th century, people like John Kensett, who wrote his work, Rome Behind the Great War, believed that the Vatican and Rome and the papacy and the Jesuits were behind World War I and World War II because the purpose was to restore the temporal power of the Pope. The Pope's temporal power had been removed in 1870, and the purpose of these wars was really to entangle Europe, because Europe was essentially being blamed for what had happened to the papacy. This is why Edmund Paris wrote his book, The Vatican Against Europe. The Vatican Against Europe. In fact, I'm sitting here holding a copy, which was not easy to get. Okay, let me read just from the preface here by the Reverend Dr. Alan C. Clifford. And he says, quote, my acquaintance with this astonishing book came in 1985, the 40th anniversary year of the ending of the Second World War. As a war baby and deeply grateful that the suffering and sacrifice of my parents' generation eventually rid the world of the Nazi menace, I became fascinated by a book which attributed much of the blame for the two great world wars to the machinations of the Roman Catholic Church. At first, such a thesis seemed bizarre in the extreme until the alarming and distressing consistency of the evidence, page after page, gradually overcame my disbelief. Realizing something of the implications of the book, I was a little surprised to discover in a review of the first French edition that, quote, everything has been set in motion to smother it in a conspiracy of silence. Wow. Now think about that. Where else are you going to hear anybody tell you that the Vatican was behind World War I and World War II? I mean, and let's understand something, brothers and sisters, it's not just it's not just Edmund Paris and John Kensett. There's a whole series of books that were written prior to World War II that claimed that Rome was in fact behind World War I, the Great War. Let me read, this is from the title page or the beginning pages of the book Rome Behind the Great War by J.A. Kensett, John Kensett, of the Protestant Truth Society. This book was published in 1918. And he has two quotes at the beginning. Quote, "The Church of Rome has shed more innocent blood than any other institution that has ever existed among mankind." That's according to Lecky, L-E-C-K-Y. Second quote, "I am fighting that sinister conspiracy which uses the forms of religion to destroy human liberty and the prosperity of states." A quote by Gambetta. Let me just read part of the beginning of this book by John Kensett. Kensett says, quote, "Cardinal Born, in his message to the nation, bids us believe that every national calamity has arisen from our breach with Rome in the 16th century, meaning because of the great Protestant Reformation, and that all the calamities are the result of our breach with Rome in the 16th century, he says, and that the panacea for every ill is a return to Rome's bosom. If all the Protestants go back to Rome, then supposedly all the problems will go away. That's the idea. There are some Catholics who think that way, unfortunately. But, I mean, look at the condition of the papacy today, where there are probably more homosexuals and pedophiles and deviants in the Catholic priesthood and running the Vatican right now than probably ever before in history. It's worse than most people imagine. People have no idea how bad the situation is. They really don't. Evangelicals have no clue. They are clueless, I am convinced. But what about all of this depravity? Is this something that that people can just gloss over or say, well, it's not that big a deal. Hey, everybody's a sinner. Especially when you're not talking about ordinary sins. You're talking about the attempt to normalize sinful behavior. That's what the whole LGBT movement is about. They've got this story here, and we'll probably talk more about it, but there's a story of this congresswoman named Elizabeth Gutzmann, who is now introducing a bill. She's in Virginia. She's introducing a bill for the state of Virginia that would punish parents if they refuse to acknowledge their child's transgender identity. So if their 8 or 9 year old son comes home and says that he's a girl because that's what his teacher told him at school or something, and the parents say, no, son, you're not a girl, etc. If this woman, Elizabeth Gutzmann, gets what she wants in Virginia, parents can be punished for refusing to go along with this sexual perversion, with this outright perversion of their children. And that's where the Democratic Party is headed with all this stuff. Now, I want to go over part of Leviticus chapter 18. Let's start at verse 21, where God is talking to Israel, and he goes over all this list of sexual immorality, the list of things, you know, the nakedness of thy son's daughter. You shall not uncover the nakedness of thy father's sister, etc. All of these different things. And at one point in verse 21, we read, "And thou shalt not let any of thy seed pass through the fire to Molech, neither shalt thou profane the name of thy God. I am the Lord. Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is abomination. Neither shalt thou lie with any beast to defile thyself therewith. Neither shall any woman stand before a beast to lie down thereto. It is confusion. Defile not ye yourselves in any of these things, for in all these the nations are defiled which I cast out before you, and the land is defiled. Therefore I do visit the iniquity thereof upon it, and the land itself vomiteth out her inhabitants. Ye shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, and shall not commit any of these abominations, neither shall any of your own nation, nor any stranger that sojourneth among you. For all these abominations have the men of the land done, which were before you, and the land is defiled, that the land spew not you out also when you defile it, as it spewed out the nations that were before you. For whosoever shall commit any of these abominations, even the souls that commit them, shall be cut off from among their people. Therefore shall you keep my ordinance, that you commit not any one of these abominable customs which were committed before you, and that ye defile not yourselves therein. I am the Lord your God. Now, we've read on other occasions how, because remember, transgenderism is part of the sin of homosexuality. And in other places, God says the women shall not dress up like the men, the man shall not dress up like the woman. All they that do so are an abomination unto the Lord. And notice God's warning. He's warning that the nations that do these things are ultimately driven out of the land that they are in. They're driven out. They're overthrown. They fall into the hands of their enemies. That is the danger. So as we're watching our country go further and further down this path of depravity, and at the same time, it looks like we're being dragged into World War III and the danger of a nuclear war. I mean, there are explosive things that are going on spiritually, biblically, and politically in our country today. So we need to be in prayer. We need to be seeking God for what He would have us to do at such a time as this. Certainly to be preaching the Word of God, to be preaching the gospel, but also to be setting our households in order to the best of our ability, to make ready for whatever it may be that comes our way in these months and years ahead. All right, let's go to our commercial break, and we will talk more. We're going to play part of the story done by Tucker Carlson on this woman, Elizabeth Guzman, a congresswoman, threatening parental rights in the United States, when we come back right after this.
Adullam Films presents a stunning new documentary, The True Christian History of America, exploring the Bible-based Christian origins of the early American view of freedom, tracing the principles of liberty back to England and the Great Reformation. For many years, our schools have taught that the founding of our republic was from the deists, or the Enlightenment in France. But is that truly the case? Did the Enlightenment first declare no taxation without representation, or trial by jury? Were they the champions of freedom of speech, or of the press, or the right to bear arms? And why did Samuel Adams declare that the reign of political Protestantism would commence just before signing the Declaration of Independence? Filmed on location in both the United States and Europe, The True Christian History of America is now available at adullamfilms.com. That's adullamfilms.com. Now available at noiseofthunderradio.com. That's noiseofthunderradio.com.
Adullam Films presents an exciting new documentary, Bridge to Babylon, part three in an award-winning series on the untold history of the Bible. Dr. Jack Moorman calls it a masterful presentation of what is the single most important issue facing Christians today: the defense of the Bible as the Word of God. Why was the Bible changed in 1881? Why have so many churches abandoned biblical inerrancy? And what direction are scholars taking the Scriptures today? Learn the truth in Bridge to Babylon, the sequel to A Lamp in the Dark and Tares Among the Wheat. Bridge to Babylon is now available at noiseofthunderradio.com. That's noiseofthunderradio.com.
Noise of Thunder Radio.
Okay, we are back. Praise the Lord, you guys. I'm Chris Pinto. This is Noise of Thunder Radio. Today on the show, we are talking about what's going on in our country right now as America reaches a tipping point, a boiling point, a point at which it looks like our country politically may explode somehow. It appears we're being dragged into World War III. We could possibly be dragged into some kind of a nuclear war, although I am suspicious, and I hope I'm right. I could be wrong. I mean, I don't think we should ever underestimate our enemy's capabilities. I think that our intelligence people, our military, all of those guys should be checking and rechecking and making sure that our enemies have no ability to do us harm. That should be continual. And we should take any threat from any country seriously. Having said that, I continue to question whether or not Vladimir Putin and the Russian government and military and so on have the ability to do all these things that they're threatening with missiles and nuclear capabilities, etc. I question all of that. And the reason I question it is because if Vladimir Putin had the ability to do these things, then why didn't he just take out Zelensky long before now? Why is he allowing Zelensky to do photo ops with Vogue magazine and go out and do propaganda videos and all this other kind of stuff? Why is all of that happening? You know, and I've given the comparison when we invaded Iraq and we went after Saddam Hussein. Saddam Hussein did not have time for a photo op. He was on the run. He was quickly and easily overthrown and subdued, and his whole government was dismantled. But that's not how Putin is dealing with Zelensky and that whole situation. Somehow or other, he's threatening countries like England and America and this kind of thing. Well, why can't he just take down the government of Ukraine? That's the question I have. Now, maybe I'm missing something in here somewhere. I don't know. But to me, it seems like if he can't take out Zelensky, how could he possibly deal with the United Kingdom? How could he possibly deal with the United States of America? How could he deal with these much, much, much more powerful political entities if he cannot deal with Zelensky? That's my question. So I'm hoping that the Russian huffery and bluffery and this kind of thing is a lot of hot air. But of course, I don't believe we should ever underestimate our enemies. And maybe the reason for a lot of the warnings about nuclear war and this kind of thing is to compel Americans to see Russia as this threat, this terrible enemy, this, you know, that Putin is a modern Adolf Hitler. That's the profile that left-wing media is giving him. They're just denouncing him utterly. Now, we're not fans of the KGB, and Putin is former KGB, and it stands to reason, I've heard others, like Trevor Loudon, who has a lot of detailed information on communism at work in our country and around the world. Trevor Loudon has said he believes that the KGB or the former KGB agents are basically running the government of Russia, that they are effectively the deep state in Russia. That makes sense. And it would make sense that they would choose Vladimir Putin to be their lead guy because he was one of them. All of that makes sense. Because the Soviet Union was not overthrown by a revolution of people who were somehow or other not part of the establishment. It was dismantled because of the Cold War, and the people who came in and formed the new Russian government were old establishment actors. In other words, former KGB people and people who were part of the whole Soviet system. So all of that makes sense. Now, those guys did, I mean, they're responsible for putting a lot of the psychological warfare, a lot of the corruption in our education system, in our media, things like this LGBT movement, which they reject, Russia rejects it, but it is said to have been what the KGB and the communists put into our system. They're the ones who instigated it in the West, effectively as a kind of cultural and political poison. So that's why this whole situation with Putin is complex. But I continue to believe that what's driving a lot of this, just like the Vatican was behind World War I and World War II, assuming that's true, the Vatican interest in what's going on right now in the Ukraine and with the United States government, remember, all of the people who run our government, from Biden to Pelosi to the Catholic-dominated Supreme Court, to people like AOC, all of these are people with strong connections to the Jesuit order and the Vatican itself. They're all Catholics with strong connection to the Jesuits. So not just ordinary Catholics, Jesuit Catholics. And then you get into people like Dr. Fauci, and you get into Bill and Melinda Gates, and it's all a big Jesuit Catholic party in Washington, D.C. right now. They control the federal government of the United States. So they're directing things into this conflict with Putin. And most people are not even thinking about things like the historic enmity between the Roman Catholic Church and the Russian Orthodox Church. They're not even thinking about that. But that's the dynamic in Ukraine between Western Ukraine and Eastern Ukraine. Western Ukraine with Zelensky is Catholic. Eastern Ukraine with the Russians is Russian Orthodox. All right. So I wanted to play this now. There's beginning to be more and more pushback from people here in our country over the Democrats stoking the fires of war. And there was recently an outburst against Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez when she was giving a presentation, and there were people who stood up and started shouting at her over what's going on in the Ukraine. Let's listen.
Congresswoman, none of this matters unless there's a nuclear war, which you voted to send arms and weapons to Ukraine. Tulsi Gabbard, she's left the Democratic Party because there are a bunch of her hawks. Okay? You originally voted, you ran as an outsider, yet you've been voting to start this war in Ukraine. You're voting to start a third nuclear war with Russia and China. Why are you playing with the lives of American citizens? You're playing with our lives.
There will be no neighbors if there's a nuclear bomb. You voted to mobilize and send money to Ukrainian Nazis. You're a coward. You're a progressive socialist. Where are you against the war mobilization? He's telling the right truth. You have done nothing. Tulsi Gabbard has shown guts where you've shown cowardice. I believed in you, and you became the very thing you sought to fight against.
Wow. Okay, so just so we understand, that's two different protesters there, both shouting at Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, and, you know, saying, why are you voting to fund this war in the Ukraine? You voted to fund Ukrainian Nazis. One of them says, of course, with the internet now, people are not held hostage by mainstream media. Many people can go online, read up on the Azov Battalion, read up on this relationship that they have with, I mean, you know, the mainstream media has argued that, oh, Zelensky is Jewish and his family suffered during the Holocaust, so that means, of course, he's not going to work with Nazis. No, it doesn't mean that at all, because there were Jewish people who worked with the Nazis during the war. I saw a documentary here somewhere in the last 6 months where there was an older Jewish couple who had suffered in the concentration camps. Now, years later, they talked about being in one camp that was run by Jewish guards, and the woman, I think it was, made the comment that the Jewish guards over that particular concentration camp who worked for the Nazis were as bad, if not worse, than the Nazis themselves. Words to that effect. You'd have to watch the documentary to get exactly what she said, but, and I found that to be a very surprising and alarming statement. But if you research the Capo trials after the war, the Capos were those who supported, they were Jews who supported Hitler and the Nazis. But if you were to go online and just study the Capos, K-A-P-O-S, you've got, for example, well, there's a number of websites that talk about it. On the website allthat'sinteresting.com, it says some Holocaust survivors claimed Capos, prisoners the Nazis turned into concentration camp guards, were, quote, worse than the Germans. Okay, now that's just one quote I'm grabbing off the internet there. But nevertheless, it's something that I've heard before. And why is that important to what's going on in the Ukraine? Well, because you have reports of Jewish billionaires who are financing the Azov Battalion. And then, of course, Zelensky himself is Jewish. And people are taking this kind of oversimplified view of the situation, saying, well, if Zelensky's Jewish, obviously he wouldn't work with Nazis. Well, not necessarily. That's not necessarily the case. That's the whole point. Yes, there were Jewish people who collaborated with the Nazis, and they could be pretty nasty sort of people. You know, I mean, it's just like, think of Judas Iscariot. Judas was a traitor. Every people has their traitors. In America, we had Benedict Arnold. He's notorious, the notorious traitor of the American Revolution. So, yes, that is something that is part of the strange history of the Holocaust. We tend to want to see things in these sort of black and white categories. Okay, Nazis were all white, blonde-haired, blue-eyed Aryans who were horrible, and all the Jews were victims, etc. It wasn't that simple. And the situation in the Ukraine right now is not that simple. It's a very complex situation, and there's a lot of deception and misinformation that is being reported. It's difficult to know exactly what's going on. Every time I see video and they report that, oh, here the Russians bombed this area, I'm never entirely comfortable with that video. Why? Because you have journalists like Patrick Lancaster, who has warned, I mean, he worked for the networks, and he sent them video of a bombing that happened over there, and they took his video and they reversed it. They used the video, but they blamed it on the wrong people. They claimed that the bombing was from Russia, I think he said, instead of from the Ukrainian government. And he said at that point he recognized that they're not using his material properly, that they're actually deceiving people with the footage that he sends them. And so he stopped working for them and became this independent journalist. That's his story. So you can learn more about Patrick Lancaster. You look him up online. You can listen to what he says, and you have to decide whether or not you believe him, you know. But that's his story in a nutshell. That's the story that he tells. He has his own YouTube channel. He's been reporting over there. He is one of a number of independent journalists who are arguing that the Western world is being deceived and lied to about a lot of what's going on over there. And it's unfortunate. It is terrible, the thought of going to war based on lies, based on deceptions and falsehoods. And I mean, it's really, especially if we have the ability to discover what the truth is. I mean, when people are lying and they're deceiving, you know, you think about what Joshua in the Old Testament went through with the Gibeonites. The Gibeonites deliberately deceived Joshua and the people of Israel. And the scripture says that because Joshua did not inquire of the Lord, that's part of the reason why they were not alerted to the deception. But nevertheless, you know, when somebody goes out of their way to deceive you, to a certain extent, it's not necessarily your fault, but we do have a responsibility. Jesus says, take heed that no man deceive you. And we're also told, well, John 8:31 and 32, we read, then Jesus said to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Praise the Lord. So the key, ultimately, Jesus is the way, the truth, the life. No man comes unto the Father but by him. Praise the Lord. So ultimately, God's truth is the truth. But we can see in the world how many lies, how many deceptions, how much utter and complete darkness and confusion there is. And right now, it's getting worse and worse. We got people telling us they don't even want to acknowledge the difference between a man and a woman, a male and a female anymore. There is utter darkness and confusion. Matthew 6:22, the light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? Think about what's happening now with all these perversions that are going on. How great is the darkness inside the hearts and minds of those people who are communicating all of this utter madness and insanity, especially with this transgender stuff that's going on. How great is the darkness that they are in and that they want to drag everybody else into. They're not content to be wallowing around in their own perversions and whatnot. They want to drag everybody else into it. They want to force everybody else to be a part of this wickedness and these evil enterprises that they are putting together. I mean, it's unbelievable. Here, now at this point, I have to play some of the audio of this story that Tucker Carlson did on this woman, Elizabeth Gutzman, this congresswoman who is now proposing a new law in the state of Virginia to punish parents who refuse to go along with transgender ideology for their underage children. Listen.
A Democratic lawmaker in Virginia called Elizabeth Gutzman is introducing a bill that will charge parents with a felony, strip them of their employment, and imprison them if they don't wholeheartedly endorse their minor children's sex changes. So your 12-year-old daughter says she wants a mastectomy. If you object to that in any way, if you raise questions, Elizabeth Gutzman will send you to jail. For real. Here's a local news report.
Her bill would expand the state's definition of child abuse and neglect to include parents who do not affirm their child's gender identity or sexual orientation.
There's an investigation also in place that is not only, you know, from a social worker, but there's also a police investigation before we make the decision that there's going to be a CPS charge.
What could the penalties be if, you know, the investigation concludes and it's concluded that a parent is not affirming of their LGBTQ child? What could the consequences be?
Well, we first have to have an investigation. You know, it could be a felony, it could be a misdemeanor, but we know that a CPS charge could harm, you know, your employment, could harm your education.
All right, so you can hear right there the direction that this whole transgender LGBTQ nightmare is headed. Tucker Carlson, if you listen to the rest of his story, he comments that this woman has not even been in the country that long. She's come here from Peru, and she's already promoting these unorthodox ideas about child rearing. But this is generally the direction that this whole LGBT movement has been headed for many years. I mean, this is really what we're talking about in our documentary, The Kinsey Syndrome, back in 2008, that the argument of Alfred Kinsey, and that's what's behind all of this. The argument of Kinsey is when Kinsey worked with pedophiles who molested children, Kinsey argued that the problem with pedophiles and children is not the pedophile, he said, but the parents. The parents are the problem. Because when the parents find out that their child has been involved in this kind of activity, the parents get hysterical. They get all upset, and Kinsey argued that's what does all the harm to the children. That was his argument. I mean, they haven't fully come out of the closet in support of pedophilia, even though there's been all these hints at it. But now, in a very strange twist, this whole transgender movement targeting underage children is almost like a roundabout way of normalizing and legalizing pedophilia, even though they're not openly calling it that. But what else really would you call it? It's being called child abuse. But they are tampering with the sexuality of underage children, which really ought to be left alone under parental guidance until these children are old enough to make their own decisions, which by our laws is 18 years old. Right now, there's this very, very sad story that there's a video going around, which you can find on YouTube, and it says, quote, "This is what giving a 16-year-old girl testosterone looks like." And it's the story of this girl who, when she was 16 years old, was apparently told that she really should be a boy, or that she was born female, but really she identifies as male. And somehow or other, she went along with this and started taking testosterone pills. And now she is 21, according to this video, and she gives her testimony, and she looks like she is a 30-year-old man because her hair is starting to fall out. She now has a receding hairline. And she's obviously not happy about it and talks about how she's gone too far with this whole transformation to just turn back. And she's clearly not happy with where things are at for her. This is why our young people deserve to be protected. And God's law, God's standard, should be maintained as the law of the land, especially for underage children, that they should be taught God's standard morality. Now, if they get older, they get to be 18 years plus, and they decide they're going to go do their own thing, well, there's only so much you can do about that. But while they are yet underage, I honestly believe they should be taught the traditional Christian value system that our country was founded and built upon. Just like we teach children that smoking is bad for your health, the best thing for you to do is to breathe clean air. We don't feed them a bunch of nonsense about oxygen orientation and that maybe you might choose to smoke 2 packs of cigarettes a day. That's just ridiculous nonsense. Obviously, smoking is not better for you than breathing clean air. Clean air is better for you. It's better for any of these kids if they accept how they were born, how God chose to create them, and that they have time to really think about that as they get older and as adults search out their own conscience before God. That is a much better choice for these kids. I mean, of course, we believe as Christians, it's much better for them to obey the commandments of God. The whole reason why children have always been under parental authority till they reach the age of 18. Once they're 18 years old, they're considered legal adults in our society. We're now seeing why that is such an important boundary. Such an important boundary for our kids. It protects our children. But let me tell you what I think. This would be my opinion about this whole situation and the politics of our country right now. The most disturbing thing about all of this to me is that there is no one in the Republican Party or anywhere involved in our politics who are calling for the arrest of the teachers who are instigating this among underage children, or the counselors, or the people who are obviously the doctors who are engaging in child abuse, what can only be called child abuse and has been called by many people. But nobody is calling for the arrest. Even the conservatives like Governor DeSantis, they're talking about passing laws and legislation to put a stop to this or that. We've already got laws against child abuse. We've already got laws against contributing to the delinquency of a minor. We've already got laws that could be employed to arrest the people who are doing this, the adults who are doing this. But nobody, at least not from what I'm seeing, if you see anybody calling for the arrest of these teachers, of these counselors, of these doctors, etc., who are specifically targeting underage kids, if you find that anywhere, folks, send me an email. Because so far, I'm not seeing it anywhere. And to me, that's the most disturbing part of this whole thing. Because what is the opposition to this? The opposition, politically, there is no opposition. At most, you have people who are saying, oh, this is a bad idea. Let's, you know, vote for me, the Republican, and I'll try to pass a law so that we stop this or that from happening. Why isn't anybody trying to make use of the laws that we already have to go after these people who are really criminals? This is criminal behavior. But nobody will call it what it is and actually do something about it. Psalm 119 and verse 126 says, "It is time for thee, Lord, to work, for they have made void thy law." That is a scripture for the day that we are living in. They have made void the fundamental laws of God. And it's why I think it's so important that we as a country reclaim at least what our ancestors believed and what they wrote into our founding documents, the laws of nature and of nature's God. That is the foundation of American law, and it's a very direct reference to the laws of God, both in nature and in the Bible, which forbids this kind of behavior. Isaiah 59 and verse 14, "And judgment is turned away backward, and justice standeth afar off, for truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter." The word equity is also translated honesty. Honesty or uprightness. Truth has fallen in the streets. Is that not the condition of our country today? Here's what John Gill says about that verse. Verse 14, Isaiah 59 and verse 14. He says, "For truth has fallen in the street where it used to be preached, exalted, established, and confirmed, but now thrown down and trampled upon, and few or none to help it up and stand by it. And though it may have some secret well-wishers, yet very few, if any, public advocates for it. And equity cannot enter," he says, "either into civil courts or Christian congregations, the doing of that which is just and right between man and man in things civil, and between Christian and Christian in things religious, or that which is right according to the word of God, can find no place, or cannot be admitted into assemblies that are called by his name." Wow. So, these are powerful, powerful scriptures for our day, brothers and sisters, because this is such a time that we're living in. We're living in at a time where truth is rejected. Truth is forbidden. So as followers of the way and the truth, the Lord Jesus Christ, it's our responsibility, it's our duty before God to reject the lies of the enemy. But what does the scripture warn about? The scripture warns in 2 Thessalonians, "God shall send them strong delusions so that they will believe a lie." If If you read the Geneva translation, it says, God shall send them strong delusion so that they will believe lies, in the plural. I've always found that very interesting. Of course, you guys know that I love the Geneva translation because of its history. I've always thought that somehow both are true, that there are many lies that make up a big lie in opposition to God's truth through the gospel and through God's law. And of course, I think that's what we're seeing. We're seeing many lies that are being peddled in the world we live in today. But lest we should end on a doubtful note, we remember 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14. Now thanks be unto God, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ, and maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. Praise the Lord. God always causes us to triumph in Christ. Praise God, brothers and sisters. All right, that is going to do it for us today. That is our show. We'll stop it there, but we will be back next time as the Lord leads us. Until then, God bless you guys. I'm Chris Pinto, and you've been listening to Noise of Thunder Radio.